The Necrons are an ancient and mysterious race of robotic constructs who have only recently awoken from their eons of slumber and are setting forth to reclaim the stars and reforge their celestial empire. They were once beings of flesh and bone until around 60 million Terran years ago, where they undertook what was known as the biotransference, in which they obtained new bodies of necrodermis, a living metal which bestowed upon them the gift of immortality at the cost of their very souls. In order to best preserve their species, the Necrons entered into a great slumber, where they retreated into the hearts of their tomb worlds and placed themselves into an extended period of hibernation. This was planned so that once the galaxy had become placid and weak, that the Necrons could emerge and reclaim their galactic holdings with little opposition. Even before the biotransference, the Necrontyr were a highly regimented civilization which based itself upon strict rules of governance and due process. It was organized in a hierarchical system where the high nobles would control and direct their subordinates with absolute authority. This dynastic system has only become more ingrained within the remaining psyche of the Necrons since they were entombed within their new frames of living metal. Only the most powerful and influential of Necrontyr leaders were able to retain some semblance of cognition and reasoning, since they were provided with the highest quality of stasis chambers within their tomb worlds. This has allowed them to more effectively control and rule over their more poorly preserved kin, who lack the neural capabilities required for conscious thought. Many of the lower-ranking members of society, who now make up the majority of the Necron warriors, have lost much of their cognitive capacity due to the eons of substandard stasis sleep, and so they are forced to simply follow the orders given to them by their leaders. These dynasties are culturally and industrially separate from one another, with each being defined by not only the capacity of the planets which they rule over, but also for their own customs and traditions, many of which have endured the long slumber. That being said, some of the modern awoken dynasties have clearly followed new cultural practices which were not present during the ancient days of their empire. This is almost assuredly due to the widespread mental degradation which occurred during their millennia of hibernation, and unfortunately, it seems to be an incurable condition for the decrepit mechanical horrors. As an example of the potential scale of this damage, let us explore one dynasty which was so ravaged by time that they have almost no remaining cultural legacy from their ancient days. The Necrons, who hail from the tomb world of Sarkon, are a part of the dynasty known as the Empire of the Severed. This planet was utterly racked by intense electromagnetic storms, which resulted in every single member of the slumbering Legion having their memory cores utterly wiped. The command programs of the tomb world had similarly become corrupted and damaged by the storms. However, the malfunctioning machine intelligence falsely saw itself as the overlord of this dynasty. It proceeded to dominate and raise the shattered Legion from their crypts, who now walk in absolute unison as mindless automata, ever more soulless than any of their other dynastic cousins. The haunted legions, controlled by this rogue and corrupted control program, have since invaded several other tomb worlds, where they are known to deploy huge swarms of mind-shackled scarabs to pull other Necron forces into their sway of lobotomized servitude. There's no recourse for this corrupted dynasty. Their old memories and practices have been wiped from existence, and whatever colorful and unique history they once possessed has been destroyed and overwritten, making them little more than hulking and zombified mechanical warriors. I shall now speak of the hierarchy of the Necron houses. Each of the dynasties is headed by a noble pharaoh, who holds absolute dominion over their vast, star-spanning realm. These figures were patricians of the highest order during their bygone imperial days, and so it is of no wonder that they were provided with the finest of stasis chambers to slumber within during their long sleep. As a result of this, they have retained the full range of their cerebral abilities, and so they will gladly take up the crown once more to bring new glories to their dynasty. These imposing figures will rule from the central crown worlds of their domain, where they will assess the state of their celestial holdings before planning and launching new campaigns of conquest. Most often, a Faerun will attempt to reclaim any and all territories which were lost to the younger species of the galaxy during their hibernation, and it will surely be a bloody day of reckoning to any who find their homes on an old dynastic tomb world. All subservient Necron forces will follow the wills and directives of their noble Faerun. And since this dynastic hierarchy is so deeply ingrained within their kind, Faerons of other dynasties will also be treated and looked upon with the same respect and reverence, so long as it does not interfere with the wishes of their own dynastic ruler. In some circumstances, a dynasty may be particularly large with such a wide stellar realm that it requires the guiding hand of several Faerons to effectively control. This is most notably the case with the Sarakan dynasty, which boasts at least two Faerons who originally ruled over their own lesser dynasties before being swayed and absorbed by the Sarakan. Though they still retain their noble titles, they are ultimately subservient to the Silent King Sarek, who appears to hold an iron grip over his new playthings. In the ancient days of the Necron Empire, his dynasty and the rest of the Necrontyr was controlled by a triumvirate of two lords who would answer to the individual nominated to act as the Silent King. This council, known as the Triarch, would issue commands and edicts to the Necrontyr, effectively directing the entire empire throughout its fateful history. With that in mind, perhaps the reason the Silent King has chosen to foster these lesser Faerons is that he wishes to return to this bygone tradition and potentially restore the Triarch to its old glory. The Faerons cannot rule their dynasty alone, and so they will require their own council of vassal lords and nobles to aid them in leading the Undying Legions. The first to mention would be the Overlords, who have been graced with leadership over an entire tomb world, so long as their glory is fed back to the dynastic head. As I previously mentioned, this structure of leadership is incredibly entrenched within the Necrons, so much so that if the forces of several dynasties come together for a single conflict, then they will quickly fall in line behind the most senior and high-ranking member of whichever dynasty is present. This allows them to quickly coordinate and combine themselves into a large and unified army. Further below the rankings of Overlord would be that of the Lords. These archaic vestiges of nobility may also be granted the honor of controlling a tomb world. However, it is doubtful that they would be given dominion over a prized crown world, since the needs of the overlords will always come before them. Rather often, the lords will be given control over a large army of soulless warriors, and in this sense, they will act as military commanders during the inevitable Necron campaigns. Whilst the titles of Faerun, Overlord and Lord are incredibly well conserved and respected across the Necron species, the dynasties will each have their own distinct and culturally significant titles which will be bestowed upon lesser nobles, advisors and military personnel. This can lead to some confusion and disarray amidst a dynasty if the ruling Faerun is killed or overthrown. The new dynastic ruler will seldom recognize the old cultural titles and will instead insist that their own dynastic honors are the only valid titles worth granting. As such, Necrons, who previously found themselves in rather lofty positions, will suddenly be stripped of their powers, being left to grovel for some measly title or court position from their new lords. This brings us to an important point, which is that every single Necron who once held a position of nobility in the old empire will see themselves as being utterly deserving of power, regardless of where they fit within the greater hierarchy of their people. Because of this, the nobles will each keep a group of trusted advisors as their own personal council, and these members will advise them in matters of statecraft, war, or diplomacy. Those within the council will hold rather exotic and lofty titles such as High Judicator or Prime Magister. Though this swells their neural centers with pride and honor, we must remember that these titles will likely not be recognized or respected by the members of other dynasties. Despite this, the prideful and ostentatious Necrons still understand that their perceived strength is all that matters. And so being able to claim that you have an advisory council is far better than to have no court at all. The noble members of a Necron tomb will each have their own royal legion of warriors to call upon. Similar to an advisory council, having a large roster of military forces proves the seniority and power of a dynastic member. Being able to boast to their peers that they are in the possession of several phalanxes of mighty lich guards, or that they have innumerable legions of immortals under their command, will be a great point of pride to a lowly lord who will do anything to prove their worth to their dynastic liege. Every Necron, be it the most powerful of Faeron or the lowliest of warrior, will bear a glyph upon their breastplate. This ancient symbol, known as the Ankh of the Triarch, has been retained since the old days of the Necrontyr Empire, and it signifies some sense of unity amongst the Necron race. In addition to this, each dynasty will have its own distinct glyph, which will be worn upon pieces of apparel, such as upon the death masks of its most senior and noble members. Only the highest ranking of lords hold the right to display the glyph in its full glory, whilst other subservient but still noble members of the dynasty will only display a small element in order to signify that they are in a lower position to the more noble members. Some arrogant Necrons will display their dynastic glyphs upon their breastplates instead of the Ankh of the Triarch, perhaps symbolizing that they see their own dynastic glory as being of more importance to that of the greater Necron Empire. The noble arrogance of the Necron rulers means that the common soldiers of a dynasty will not be permitted to display any part of their glyph. They are seen as interchangeable fodder to the lords, who are unworthy of being directly associated with the titled aristocracy of Necron society. Instead, the necrodermis body of these troops may be tinted or patterned with the colors and heraldry of the old dynasty, displaying their allegiance, but keeping them separate from the patricians. Prior to the war in heaven and the biotransference, there were untold thousands of distinct dynastic lines. However, over time, many of these have been lost. They may have been erased due to the long slumber, having damaged the memory banks of the dynastic members. Or the entire dynasty may have simply been wiped out through conflict. Now that the Necrons have awoken in their scattered state, none can be sure of exactly how many separate dynasties remain. But as more and more of the tomb worlds are activated, new dynastic lineages have appeared all throughout the galaxy. The following are two of the more notable dynasties which are at large today, and which have proven themselves to be of the utmost threat to the younger species who are ignorant of the ancient and terrible force brought about by the Necrons. Firstly, we have the Sarakan dynasty. Back in the days of the old Necrontyr civilization, its members were considered as perhaps the most influential and prestigious of all the nobles across their empire. For generations, the title of Silent King had been passed down through this dynasty, swelling its members with pride for having some association with such a lofty title. The last Necron to take up the mantle of Silent King goes by the name of Sarek. It was by his ultimate decision for the Necron tier to transcend their physical forms and undertake the biotransference, a decision which he believed would ultimately save his people. Nevertheless, just as Sarek emerged from the great bioforge within his new necrodermis frame, he saw the terrible calamity which he had ordained. Though his body was far stronger and more durable than it once had been, he realized that this entire process had been a ploy from the Catan to feast upon not only their corporeal forms, but also to devour their souls. The new gnawing emptiness inside of Sarek became utterly overwhelming, and his regrets over-directing his species to undertake this decision was too great for him to bear. As such, whilst the rest of his mechanical kin entered into their long sleep, Sarek instead chose to leave the galaxy in self-imposed exile. As a part of this exodus, he severed the command protocols which he once held over his empire, meaning that he would no longer be able to completely direct and dominate those he once called family. With his departure, he was accompanied by several immense legions of Necrons frozen in stasis aboard his fleet. This penitent mission was not purely aimless, however. He ultimately hoped to find a method for reversing the biotransference somewhere outside of the galaxy, and with his newfound gift of immortality, he had all the time he needed to seek it out. Whilst drifting through the void of intergalactic space, Sarek encountered the Tyranids. The ever-devouring creatures quickly proved themselves to be of a dire threat to his plans. If they consumed all the biomass of his galaxy, then the biotransference could never be resolved, and they would forever be trapped within their soulless frames of metal. As such, he was imbued with a sense of protective duty and hastily returned to the galaxy, setting out to awaken the tomb worlds of his dynasty and extinguish the threat of both the oncoming Tyranids as well as to annihilate the upstart races who have encroached upon the Necron territory. With the Silent King at their head, many lesser dynasties have pledged their allegiance to the Sarekans, but many more have chosen to rebel against Sarek, for they still blame him for the terrible mechanical fate which has befallen their people. Next, we have the Sautek dynasty, likely considered to be one of the strongest dynasties to have awoken, perhaps shadowed only by the Sarekan. A great many of their dynastic tomb worlds survived the Great Sleep, emerging relatively intact from the millions of years of rest. Upon emerging from their tombs, however, the noble lords quickly began to squabble over who should take the throne of Faerun after the previous incumbent had failed to survive the ravages of time. This quickly blossomed into a large-scale civil war, with many core worlds pledging themselves to aristocratic Necron leaders, or many more simply entering the fray themselves, hoping to emerge as the head of such a mighty dynastic force. Eventually, one of the lowly pretenders awoke the fabled figure known as Imhotep from his slumber. He held the title of Nemesaur, which signified him as a peerless commander of the Necron military forces, whose exploits had elevated him into the status of legend. As he emerged from stasis, he quickly saw the arrogant and weak-willed hubris of the lords around him and scoffed at the notion that any one of them could possibly act as an effective Faerun. Sensing an opportunity, Imhotep proceeded to muster an army of his own, all to claim the dynastic throne for himself. After a swift and terrible campaign against the rebellious nobles, Imhotep stood as the new Faerun of the Sautek. He took up a new title during this transfer of power, becoming known as the Storm Lord, perhaps because when he and his armies advance across a battlefield, that they do so under the cover of a great and terrible storm. These great clouds crackle and break with arcs of blinding emerald lightning, which will devastate any who foolishly find themselves beneath the shadow of the tempest. With Imhotep at its head, the Sautek dynasty has emerged as one of the most powerful and well-unified areas of Necron-controlled space across the galaxy. It has been so successful in its military operations that many Imperial forces assume that all other Necron dynasties were simply minor offshoots from the Sautek, and that the entire species was led by Imhotep himself. Their expansion has been incredibly aggressive, partly due to Imhotep's legendary tactical ability, where it is rumored that he has never been bested on the field of battle. He leads vast phalanxes of Necron warriors, with himself at the head of the Undying Legions, where he exploits the sheer terror of their presence to great effect. Partly as a tactical play and partly as an arrogant message, he has routinely been known to challenge enemy commanders to single combat in front of their combined forces. Imhotep has historically been successful in defeating every one of his foes during these duels, but he chooses not to kill the defeated commander, preferring instead to allow them to scurry back to their defensive lines, where they will surely tell nothing but terrible tales of the Storm Lord and of his devastating abilities. Imhotep has led the Sautek to new heights of power, but with the return of the Silent King, he has grown bitter and resentful of the ancient Triarch's presence. He sees himself as the ultimate unifier of the Necrons, and he will not suffer the threat of being overshadowed by any other lord, no matter how ancient or venerable they may be. Only time will tell of whether or not the two dynasties will eventually fall into all-out war. But whoever emerges victorious will certainly be able to boast that they are the true leader of the newly revived Necron Empire. These are but two of the innumerable dynasties which are continuing to awaken throughout the galaxy. There are some who have emerged, seeking only to destroy other Necrons in an effort to free them from the necrodermis prison they find themselves in. Others still are led by arrogant lords who have become locked in bitter feuds between themselves and have been merely launching assassination attempts on each other for the several hundred years that they have been awake for. While the Necrontyr may have shed their bodies of flesh, they now stand as the cold, calculating, and living metal entombed Necrons. Though it no longer flows, the ties of blood still hold strong, and their dynasties stand as an integral and ever-present part of the Necron Empire. With the ancient monarchs at their head, the Necrons will continue to march throughout the galaxy, ever expanding their might and bringing glory to their dynasty.